Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. 10:06 on the clock at your host, James J. Mayloff here. Thanks so much for joining us as we wrap up Morning Magazine for the week. At 10:30 today, we're going to speak with the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Looking forward to talking with them about the Odd Couple production, which is debuting tonight. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Right now, joining us on the phone, our good friend, Representative Scott Crew from Assembly District 72. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, James. How are you today?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Good. It is a very crisp fall morning here in Delwood, down in Adams County, and it's just been really nice to be able to see the colors changing, and you know, just being outside has just been awesome this last week.
This time of year, being outside as much as humanly possible, I take the long way home wherever I'm going just so I can take in the environment, the trees, and all that.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, just we had that one cold day last week down here in Adams County, and it, almost overnight, it's just the best colors I've seen in a decade or so down here. So it's been great. So it's a nice fall this year.
Scott, what's got you down in Adams?
So Southern Base, you know, we've got our land down here in Delaware, and I've had a lot of county board responsibilities this week. So instead of driving from Rome to Friendship back and forth all the time, we've just been camping actually this week so I can be close to Friendship for county board stuff.
Way to be, and that's great to hear. Scott, when it comes to that meeting, the board meeting, when it comes to whether you're going door to door, any of those things, when it comes to just specifically your district, what are the bigger things that you're hearing from constituents?
Yeah, I think the thing that I hear every day is people are talking about inflation, gas prices, you know, all those things that are squeezing their pocketbook, and that's been an everyday thing. I mean, the other things that come up, obviously, we talk a lot about what's going on with the mill. You know, when we head up in the Rapids area, when we're down in the Adams County area, we're kind of talking about, you know, what's going on with the school district and, you know, how do we make improvements with our school system down here. So every little pocket of the district's got a little bit of different stuff going on. But pretty much everywhere, you know, whether it's the new parts in Wild Rose and Red Granite or back up in Rapids, inflation's really been talked about a lot in the last month or so here.
When it comes to, okay, so let's just tackle that right now, and we'll solve it. We'll just go ahead and fix that. But in all seriousness, that being a concern, certainly, you know, we strip that down, money becomes a concern. It isn't only, inflation is one part of it. It's a layered situation, and that one thing is going to fix it.
All right.
When I imagine jobs is a part of this, you know, the other parts of there are other moving parts of it. So how do we tackle this subject? How do you and your fellow representatives fix this or get it better?
Yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, we can strive to do at the state level is to make it easier. Obviously, we can't fix it. A lot of the policy comes from the national government and how Washington's dealing with international issues and things like that, right? So we can't take care of all of those things. We can't release reserves out of our, you know, petroleum reserves. We don't have that power at the state level. But what we have here in Wisconsin is still, after all the inflationary pressures, we still have a budget surplus here. And I think one of the things that we have to look towards in a budget surplus time is finding ways to help taxpayers keep some of the money that they're worried about losing because of inflation. So I think one of the things we've been looking towards for a long time is trying to figure out a way to lessen the tax burden. We've been doing that every year for the last 10 years. And I think, you know, as long as we can keep this surplus on hand, we got to make sure we get some of that money back into the taxpayers' hands because people are struggling right now, making tough choices. That we can make those choices a little bit easier, but we can't actually just solve inflation on its own.
All right. So in the process of doing that, how are we going to make that happen? It's one thing to kind of have the idea to have a good plan of attack, but this is something that isn't going to be able to be figured out or accomplished by just one side or one person. How do you work with your people across the aisle, your fellow Republicans, to make this better for the whole state, better for your district?
Yeah, it's been a huge process, and I think working with John Mocco from the Ways and Means Committee and John Spiros from Marshfield's also on Ways and Means, we've been working on a process for the last couple of years to try to figure out taxation as a whole. You know, Wisconsin's a very heavily property tax state. We're a little light on the sales tax. We're kind of heavy on income tax. I know there's a way that we can balance all of these things and take inflationary pressures off of people by lowering the income tax, helping drop the property tax burden, but also making this more of a consumer-based tax, where if you're going out and buying more, the sales tax can take a little bit of an increase and offset some of those decreases in your paycheck and other things before you get a chance to spend it. So there's a big project that has to be tackled, and that's why, you know, we go door to door for the next month or so here, in like 4.5 weeks, who's counting, right? and try to talk to people about those ideas that we have and trying to help people understand which ideas are better so they can pick the best person to go down and represent them in Madison.
Scott, you know, even better than most, this democracy, and I don't like calling it a democracy experiment, maybe in the first decades or two, but it's not an experiment anymore. It's a real living, breathing thing that not only our fellow countrymen, but the rest of the world looks at, and whether they admire it or scoff at it or what have you, the eyes are on us when it comes to democracy, when it comes to how America handles democracy. And that brings me to some listeners that I've talked to, because I was like to take questions from people that they might have for you or that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the biggest thing that I'm hearing from people is that they're already burnt out. We haven't even gotten to a presidential election yet, and some people are kind of like dissociating. They're pulling back. Yeah. I was talking to one couple, and they were saying how they felt like they had in mind who they were going to vote for, and then the attack ads started. And in one commercial break, they're watching, and it's attack ad against this guy, and then the very next ad is from attack on the opponent, the person who put it up there. And so many of these ads are certainly not from the candidates. Some are, but some aren't. You can tell the differences,
right,
of those.
Yeah.
With the way that they wrap up, usually, I am so-and-so, and I endorse this message. But with that, with these things going on, you have so many more. We're having more and more people get disassociated. And as you and I have touched on before, we want people informed. We want people to vote. We want people to be engaged. The numbers that we get for elections are quite sad, if you ask me. We get more people voting on American Idol than we do on these midterms or, you know, any of these other elections. How do you work with it? Because this isn't something that's going to be figured out by one side. You guys, you got to figure it out together. Democrats, Republicans, Independents, everybody's got to work together. How do you do that?
Yeah, I think in this ongoing tutorial that we've got going here that we love doing every month and helping people understand the process, the biggest thing I tell people is I'm sick of seeing it too. I mean, I don't, you can't sit and watch a Packer game without 13 ads coming on straight, you know, after each other. So And I get it, and that's why we, as a family, have made a choice to be out and doing other things instead of being in front of the TV and being in front of radios. And so, you know, when you're in it, you're doubly bombarded because you've got to be a part of it, and you've got to, you know, do it, too. So, you know, when I come across voters who say, hey, somebody's been here, or, you know, I've seen this, I've already made up my mind, I mean, it's a simple thanks. Like, hey, thanks for being engaged. I know it's overwhelming. Just, you know, take it as a grain of salt. It'll be over soon. And I also tell people all the time is don't just make your decisions based on TV commercials. Don't just base your decision on a survey that you've read. I mean, I give out my number constantly. You know, my wife may not like as much as my phone rings, but that's how the process works. And I've offered this to people the entire campaign. If you want to meet any of the candidates, Republicans, Democrats, whoever, I mean, I know everybody that's running, right? And if you just want a chance to meet them, talk to them for 2-3 minutes, just let me know. I can put you in direct contact with Mandela Barnes or Ron Johnson or Tim Michaels or Governor Evers. I mean, all of them, you know, whether I agree with policies or not or ideas that they have or not, they're all human beings. They all have phones. They all have the wantiness to talk to voters right now. If anybody wants to cut through all of the BS they see on TV and print and radio and wherever else, just let me know. We can put you in touch with the actual person if they haven't come knocking on your door already, and you can have a conversation with them and just kind of be able to turn the rest of this stuff off for the next 4 weeks because you actually talk to the individual.
Hmm. Speaking with Representative Scott Krug right now, and Scott, when it comes to representing Wisconsin, representing your constituents in your district, one thing that you know and all the listeners out there know, because we got a mix of it, Wisconsin, it may be the most purple state of all of the Union. certainly is right now, and certainly that makes it a battleground stat. That makes it so much more of the ads and the money coming into this state to support these candidates that exists. But the people that are really that are truly from here get the fact that it can't just be my perspective. I have to listen not only my constituents, but I have to listen to the other side. I have to work together because I know that my constituent, my district, is filled with not just one side, but both sides. How have you seen that grow in the years that you've been doing this, from when you started to now? Are you seeing people being more bold and more proud of those things?
You know, I think, you know, coming from a perspective of a legislator who's been around enough to be vetoed by a Republican governor and a Democrat governor, I mean, you just have to, you know, rip off the Band-Aid and jump into the fray. I mean, you can't be afraid to take your constituents' position to Madison and say, this is what we want, and get it through the legislature and hope the heck it gets signed. Now, you know, the Highway 54 bypass project, I got through the legislature twice, and Governor Walker vetoed it twice. You know, the mill bill, we got through the legislature twice, and the governor now vetoed it as well. So, I mean, we're taking local ideas to the process, and we're engaging people in the process, and we've got bipartisan votes on each of those things that have been vetoed by both parties as governor's offices. So, I mean, you just keep bashing your head against the wall, and you just keep fighting and fighting and fighting. And as those things come through, they do in the end work out, but it's our process. You mentioned it before. It's not the pie in the sky easiest process, but it is a process, and you just have to learn how to work through it and be a part of the process. So that's how that bipartisanship comes into play. It's just being close to local districts like mine and Katrina's, or, you know, Katrina's and Pat's, or Pat's and Katrina's and Nancy's, and all the four of us in this little area. We all have overlapping constituencies who have overlapping needs and similar needs and responses to things. So we all work together on those issues, and some of the stuff you see on the headlines on bigger things, those aren't necessarily, you know, local issues that we don't agree on. So we always drive as the four of us, and I give Katrina credit for it too. We're not always looking for headlines. We're looking for solutions. And that's the easiest thing we can do, is work regionally. And I can't control how things shake out, you know, at the top in leadership, or the arguments that leadership have with the governor's office, or whatever that may be. But we work to get our local problems solved here, and that's the nice thing about the folks that we have representing us around this area.
When it comes to the tired phrase of party over person, person over party, these different things that we hear, I imagine that, you know, like anybody, good teammate, you want to support your fellow Republicans and that. But I also know that, as you've touched on here, you guys may not always see it eye to eye. It's not always just Democrats that don't see eye to eye, but Republican, Democrat, or Republican, Republican, Democrat, Democrat that don't always. When it comes to that, where is the line for you, and what is the importance to you of supporting a person over a party?
Yeah, I mean, it's common sense stuff, and this is the thing that I talk to at the doors all the time with people, is that if there's an idea that just stinks, it stinks. I mean, the bigger fights we have in our caucus in Madison aren't about, you know, how are we going to win as Republicans. It's about which Republicans are we going to support in our caucus. So when we bring ideas from rural Wisconsin to our caucus, there's a set of groups of folks in the legislature and the Republican Party from the urban areas who don't like it. So I think that's our bigger fight, is trying to get through our caucus meetings and say, okay, when we leave this caucus, this is our position as a group, and we go out and fight for that as a group. So when we fight in the caucus, you know, and sometimes it's never heard of again because we do it in the Capitol, but those bigger fights are what create the position for us when we come to the floor. So there are tons of ideas as Republicans that, you know, I don't like, but when I fight my fight in caucus, and if I lose my fight in caucus, I don't win every time, but the good ideas actually end up coming out, and the bad ones end up getting kicked off to the side. So when you see a bill get to the floor in the legislature, it has been vetted like you wouldn't believe. So there's nothing, you know, half-cocked that's coming off into the floor vote, because we've gone through it 1,000 times already. So that's the best of the best rises to the top, and the rest just kind of gets pushed to the side.
You did earlier mentioned one of the things that you hear about, certainly in the past year, is the mill closing. Any new information about that, or anything new and under the umbrella of that?
Yeah, we've been pushing a lot for more information from the WEDC, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, because there's been ongoing conversations with some of the COVID money, which we had pushed the governor's administration to use ahead of the bill, that some of this COVID money might still be used because there's some to be spent. You see it on a weekly basis where the governor will come on and say, well, we're going to put $10 million towards this, we're going to put another $20 million towards that. There's still power within the governor's office to make a unilateral choice to help affect this purchase from Billerud back to a local company. So we've been putting more pressure on WEDC and the governor's office for details and conversations that have happened with Billerud and the administration on moving the sale forward in a different way. We don't have any direct information yet on how that would come together, who the interested parties might be, but you know, with the election coming up, it's a good chance to kind of leverage that because, you know, the governor wants to have a good headline in the area, and I think this is now the time for us to push him towards making a decision that can help him make a good headline in the area and effectively create the sale to a more Wisconsin-based company. So we're taking this opportunity in this silly season to make a bigger push to try to get some of that COVID money spent on what we think it should be spent on.
Well, do what you got to do, right?
Right, yeah. And that's the name of the game, is you represent your area the best you can, and you look for those leverage points, and this is one of them. If the guy wants votes from the Rapids area and a higher total than he's got now, there's no better way than help 1,000 families get back to work. So,
is it difficult, Scott, because in the time that we've talked, over the couple of years that you and I have gotten to know each other and have these conversations, I notice somebody who, you are a Republican, and it does come across that way, but not necessarily the far rightness of that or anything. Is that something that can be an issue for you with your fellow Republicans, or does it never come up?
Oh, it is. I tell you. When we had the battles over water stuff for the last 10 years here, I got my brains kicked in by both sides, I always told people. Mm. So, I mean, there were a lot of friends that I had in ag that just don't want to associate with me anymore because I was fighting for common sense reforms, right? I mean, so along the way, you bust some eggs and, you know, you pay the price for it, but that doesn't matter because, you know, when you're doing the right thing, it's the right thing to do. So it is what it is. So I've always gotten accused in my caucus of being a moderate or whatever you might want to call it, but you know, my voting record actually ended up helping me secure the number one spot from CPAC as one of the most conservative legislators in the state. So they may see that I argue for my constituents, but in the end, I still have conservative values at heart, you know, lower taxes, limited government, all those types of things, because to me, that makes more sense, and that's how I vote. And if I argue for things that are local and other legislators don't like it, that's tough. I don't care what they think.
Scott, I did notice that you are going to be part of the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce's 2022 Fall Legislative Breakfast that is going on October 14th from 7 to 9. You can join the chamber for this event and hear updates from legislators and local community official representatives. I do see that you are confirmed along with Senator Teston, Representative Nancy Vandermeer. You are all going to be there. It looks like there might be some other people there as well. Looking forward to seeing whoever arrives. How much do these events mean to you, Scott?
Yeah, these are important, you know, and the attendance lately on those, you know, it ebbs and flows, but it's been increasing over the last couple of years because this is the chance for not only just the community to come see and hear and be a part of what we do within the community, but it's a chance for stakeholders and business owners and anybody else who's got anything that we can start working towards in the next state budget. I mean, now is the time, and that's what I talk about here at the county level, too, is, you know, as a county board rep, I want to represent my little district here in Adams County, but I also have extra access to things as a state official, and I can help my county do better with more input. So these legislative breakfasts and all these other events that come up in October and November, they're important because we're starting the next budget process really darn soon after the election. And if we can get a head start and have people give input now, it saves a lot of the catch-up game later. So I would encourage anybody that's free to come hear about the things that have gotten done the last legislative session and the things we're looking forward to getting done in the next legislative session.
You know, it seems like for more times than not, if somebody has a good experience, they don't leave a comment. But if they have a negative, even a slightly negative experience, they cannot wait to let you know and leave a ton of comments about it and everything. When it comes to these in-person conversations and the political nature of the last 5, 6, maybe even 10 years, Are you seeing people, you know, kind of handle these things, these more Midwestern, or is it getting a little out of hand?
I'll tell you, everything that's done in person, even the door-to-door contacts, even if I go up to a door that, you know, may have had my opponent's sign in it last year or whatever, and it's not there now or whatever it might be, if I knock on the door and they just say, no, I'm not going to vote for you this time, there's never a yelling, screaming, shouting match, right? Hmm. It's only online. And when people see, you know, the vitriol that's on Facebook, it's because you can hide behind a keyboard. But when we do all these events in person, whether it's a legislative breakfast or door knocking or parades, and maybe a little bit at a parade or whatever once in a while, but 95% of the time, it is a gracious contact. Even if we disagree, we walk away and say, okay, thanks for your time. Have a great day. I mean, it is such a different world when you're dealing with these things face-to-face, one-on-one, than it is in a group situation or an online situation. So that's why I love this individual time, these last 6 months from April to October and into the first week of November. We can actually just talk to voters one-on-one in their own private world and help them understand what's going on, what's happening, what's been going, or what's going to happen. And then to walk away with that understanding, you know, like, oh, okay, well, I didn't agree with it, but at least the guy came and talked to me, and I get it, and I respect that. It just doesn't happen online for some reason. I'll never figure that out, but it's got to be the anonymity of it just makes it easier for people to be grumpy. So
And maybe it's the last naive bone I have in my body, but I got to hope that we're getting this stuff out of the way, these early years of social media, so that maybe the rest of it will treat each other a little better, we'll be a little bit smarter about it. We'll see. Time will tell, of course, but here's hoping at the very least. And we took care of the business stuff, Scott, so you know how this works. We get to wrap up with some fun. And it's tough to find that necessarily in some Wisconsin sports, but Packers playing pretty well. And while the Wisconsin Badgers certainly aren't having the season we wanted them to, I don't know a single person alive that didn't like Coach Crist. I think that there is a silver lining here with Coach Leonard. And he's one of the most, if not the most sought-after assistant coach in college football. The guy's got a head coaching job waiting for him. To me, it makes sense. Why not keep him in-house? Why not see if he works out and he could be the next head coach of your Wisconsin Badgers officially?
Yeah, I mean, it was an absolutely awful sports week in Wisconsin until the Packers finally eked it out at the end in overtime, and then Jim Leonard got hired as the Badgers coach. I mean, I get that Crist has done a great job for the program, but Leonard is the future. He's the reason the reason he's not coaching in the NFL is because he wanted to come back and coach at Wisconsin, right?
Yep.
So if you got a little lull in the program, recruiting's not going great, the results aren't quite there, bump the guy up and give him a run. And I think that's exactly what's going on here. And Jimmy's a great guy. I've got to meet him a couple times. He is intense. You know, that's always been my biggest complaint of the Badger coaches since Alvarez, is that there's nobody on the sidelines getting intense. Even the Brewers with Council, there's never a moment of intensity in the guy's face. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, can you get angry? Can you just yell at your guys a little bit? So, I mean, Leonard's not, you're going to see that. And that's the exciting part about it for me with Leonard is he's not going to hold back and going to yell and, you know, throw a fit every so often. And that's the things I like to see in a coach is a little fire.
I could not agree with you more about that. All coaching, especially, you know, when it comes to football. It's always good talking with you, Scott. Appreciate the time. If people have follow-up questions, want to reach you, how can they do that?
Yeah, phone number's easiest. 715-323-3293. Now that's always on. Even as we're door knocking here, I'll stop and take real estate calls or personal calls or, you know, whatever legislative calls come through. You know, if you wanted to try the Facebook Messenger, that's a little less likely to be answered right about now. This time of year is getting a little tough for that. Just wanted to thank you for this opportunity these last couple of years here. And as we move forward, just a reminder that, you know, November is kind of the month we take off of this tutorial on the election years, just to not, you know, bridge that gap between political and policy. So if it's okay with you, we'd skip next month and come on back on December.
Sounds great, Scott. We're looking forward to it. You take care. I hope this goes well. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, James.
Thank you. Representative Scott Krug joining us, and a big thank you to him for the time. Well, and as Scott mentioned there as he was wrapping up, nicely done by you, by the way, we'll be meeting No Scott again in December. So we'll talk to him then, and we'll look forward, get our questions together. You can always get me your questions for Scott or any of our representatives, james@wfhr.com. Get them to me, and we'll get them right to the candidates and or to the representatives. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up Morning Magazine for the week with our friends, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, coming up right here on WFHR. Locally grown radio.